This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Senator Penny Wong. You're listening to Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Been There, Done That with Chris, Phil and Gordon.
Good afternoon.
That's us.
That's us, yes.
We never get to hear how that music ends.
Oh.
We should have a 5-minute break one day.
Well, it's a 4-minute song, 3-minute 56, so...
No.
But there you go. Yes, it's sort of nothing music, but just a little bit of brightness
it's been on,
there.
Been There, Done That for many, many years, hasn't it? I can remember when I first started listening to Been There, Done That, it was always being played. Yeah. There you go. And how's your week been? Busy?
Well, it's been busy, yes. And it was great weekend, and it was lovely to know that spring is finally here.
Well, it's not really.
Oh, it is.
No, it's coming.
It's coming. But
you're a stickler for calendars, aren't you?
The government says the 1st of September, but the nature says the 21st of September, so you can take your pick.
Uh-huh. All right, then. Mm. Well,
it's still August. Then.
It's getting into the mood. That's what I like.
We've got lots to talk about today.
We have, but first we've got to thank Tim for the news and Scotty for the morning show and for Lance at the front desk. And we welcome Julia at the front desk.
Thank you.
So if you need
to take all our calls,
please give us a call.
If you've got a carrier pigeon, he might land. We haven't got the
We haven't got this. The rail outside this window.
No, keep your carrier pigeons at
the
home,
carrier
please.
Carrier pigeon can only land in Studio 3.
There you are.
Okay.
Oh, no, well, we're all bright and bubbly. I had a good sleep, and that was one of the things. I actually let the body wake me up when it had had enough, and that was 10.5 hours after I went to bed.
Oh, I was up at 4:30 this morning because I had so much to do. I'm reading 3 books at the moment. 3 books, and I've got another painting to finish to go in an exhibition, and I've got the radio programs to do.
I've heard people who retire and they have nothing to do.
And tomorrow I have to take my boyfriend to hospital to get his kidney stones fixed up.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been very sick for the last...
Is he going to have them nuked?
No. They put a stent in or something or other. I've never heard of it, but apparently put a stent in.
Pickle tongs.
Yeah, something
I've
like
had that. That's okay. Don't get the ones where they use a microwave and nuke it.
No,
because
I don't.
Your whole interior, I've had that done, and your whole gut feels as though it's exploding.
Yeah, well, he's not feeling terribly well at the moment, so I have to take him back to hospital tomorrow.
He's having a bit of gripe.
But I was talking to a doctor, and she said it's the worst pain you could ever possibly go through.
Apart from, it is.
Well, she reckons it's even worse than...
childbirth?
The childbirth. Mm, she reckons it's even worse than that.
Oh, okay then.
What if the kid's got kidney stones?
On the 24th of August 1995, the Microsoft Corporation released a web browser called Windows 95.
It's not a web browser.
It's not. It's an operating system. Thank you. All right. Okay.
I'm not having anything to do with this because I don't know anything about Windows 95.
You're a Mac person.
I'm a Mac person.
Well, I'm a Mac person too. So Windows is spelled WANDOZE.
Oh, that's.
But it was famous because it was one of the windows that actually worked.
All right.
It worked reasonably well.
Yeah.
So they got it right.
And, you know, 20 years later.
We had funny mail by
much of things. Funny message come. Somebody just wrote in and said, under this government, seasons are not real, just like climate change. Well done. Love it.
Thank you indeed.
We'll helicopter back to our story now.
Windows 95. Actually, something had to start somewhere. And, well, that was sort of the first proper release of Windows, wasn't it? Because you were telling me, Phil, that there was a
3.1?
Well, 3.1, well, I'm not sure if it was a 3.0, but way back in the threes, they released it to the market.
Uh-huh.
And within days, they were up to 3.2.
Oh, right.
Trying to get it to work.
Okay.
You'd think they would have tried that before at home, really, before releasing
before
it.
Before they released it.
Well, see, they hadn't invented beta versions, had they?
Oh, no. All those things have been around.
Yeah.
But the problem Microsoft had was they only wrote the software. They didn't build the machines. So a PC is really just a collection of random parts thrown on a motherboard and cross your fingers, maybe it works.
Right.
Whereas a Macintosh, like your iPhone, is designed and built by Apple, and the operating system is designed and written by Apple. So they know everything about the hardware that the software needs.
Oh, right.
So that's why Macintosh has been successful since 1984.
Mm.
But there were T-shirts that came out from Mac lovers when Windows 95 came out, and basically on the front it said Windows 95 equals, and on the back it said Mac 87. Subtle but pointed.
That's very sad. And of course, most recently we've had Microsoft release Windows 10. Before that, there was Windows 8. What happened to the one in between?
Well, I think you came up with the right solution to that before.
Well, it was all to do with advertising, because when you're talking about it in German, the number 9 is actually 9, N-E-I-N, which is the same as no.
Yes,
so not ja, 9.
So they couldn't put Windows 9 into German, so they decided they'd bypass it altogether.
Precisely.
And put in 10. Much easier to say in any language.
Yeah, which is really handy because the Mac OS is up to 10.
Yes, that's right.
So Windows 10 is just a bit of wishful thinking if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, a little bit of music.
Well, in 20 seconds we're going to have some music.
What is it?
Everything you need.
That's what Apple's.
Madison Avenue.
That's what we're talking about, computers, everything
something
you need.
Something like that.
Get a Mac.
Stop advertising, you're not allowed to.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
And the machine that went ping stopped going ping.
And look, thank you very much indeed to our serial SMSer, because we've got a lovely comment. Gordon, you might like to read this out because it was your patient that we were talking about.
No, the person said something about a hospital, which I can't mention. I won't mention the name, but I just roared with laughter because it's a great hospital to look after you when you're quite well. Oh, dear.
Well, insert hospital name here.
Yes. Yeah, they're all much like that.
I think the nurses do a wonderful job in hospitals. They really are superb.
We went right off the track. We didn't tell the listener what's going to be happening today. Well, you know, as usual, what we plan beforehand never comes to fruition. So we hope that we will cover in the next 1 hour or 45 minutes a matter of earth-shattering explanations, yes. And we've got some gay people who were like genies in the bottle, so big and bright and shiny and volatile that you couldn't keep them in the genie bottle. And
they exploded a bit like our next item, didn't
well,
they?
Indeed.
You see, they were such brilliant stars on the horizon.
Well, round about this time, long time ago, what happened?
It sounds like a sneeze.
Well, you can start on today. Today was the big one that really destroyed just about everything. The city of Pompeii destroyed by Mount Vesuvius is on the 24th of August.
Yeah.
Way back in 79.
Have you ever been to
No, I've never been to Pompeii, you know, but I believe it's
Phil?
An interesting place.
No,
to
but
visit.
It sounds like we're a bit late. Not looking at its best, I
yes,
would imagine.
Yes, I've been there and done that.
Yeah.
Had a look at everything. And Pompeii as a town is a fair way away from the volcano, which has very gentle sloping sides, and you'd think that anything that came off the actual volcano would have been sort of far enough away. However, it seems Vesuvius exploded with such force that it spewed out big clouds of ash.
When those volcanic gases are rather nasty.
Oh, well, that's what then swept over. That's right, because once the gas had actually come in, it suffocated so many people and they were stuck there, and then the ash fell out of the sky, buried the people, buried the town, and it was only sort of recent that
1700, I think, in the 1700s when they decided to dig it up and have a look at it. Yeah. But it was just an amazing situation that the people thought that they were going to be safe, and they went inside their houses to be safe, and they were covered with ash, and they were killed by the...
Basically baked.
They were asphyxiated because the oxygen was sucked out of the air, and that was it. You know?
And usually, of course, the volcanoes let you know if something's going wrong. And, you know, 2,000 years ago when this happened in the year 79, the Earth was actually a little bit more volatile than it is at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still pretty volatile when you get to certain places very, very close to Australia, actually. Like, you've got things happening in Bali at the moment. But then the big one was in the 1800s.
That's right,
1883.
On August the 26th. And then on the 27th, there was a bit more of an explosion, but at the volcano called Krakatoa. It's in western Indonesia.
It was in this island just off the main island of Indonesia, wasn't it?
Yeah, completely. The Sunda Strait between Java and Sumatra. And it had been inactive for 200 years, according to local records. But then rumblings were heard, sort of like a tummy. And then there was this almighty explosion that was heard 4,000 kilometres away.
It'd be like an explosion in Sydney being heard in Perth. That's how far away it would have been.
Yeah,
and that's how loud it would have been. And, of course, it destroyed the atmosphere as well because the ash and the cloud cut out a lot of the sunlight from different areas.
It circulated around the world and apparently it got as far as New York. And, of course, the debris was scattered across the Indian Ocean as far as Madagascar. And, you know, that was almost a block out of the weather for a few days. In fact, they were still experiencing weather interruptions years later.
Well, can you imagine the noise when you stub your toe and they cracked a toe? So it's going to be very, very loud.
I just
cracked a toe.
I did that on my left foot and it's taken a year for the nail to come off. It takes so long.
Thank you, Gordon.
And hello to everybody having lunch.
Yes. Yeah.
But on the second day of explosions from Krakatoa, the death toll rose to 36,000.
Because the 40-metre-high tsunami wave was caused by the explosion, which then basically wiped out all the villages on the beaches, they did with the last tsunami up there.
Yeah, but of course in 1883 there was not much of a system to record these events.
No.
So there's only limited information we've had about
that particular
explosion. But, you know, ash, rock, lava and everything, it was just too much. And, of course, Phil, I've experienced in New Guinea rumblings. I've experienced the ground actually rolling and floating and everything.
That's quite amusing when it does that.
Oh, it does.
You get waves in your swimming pool.
Yeah, well, I was looking at a sports field and you actually saw the whole ground move up and down as though it was liquid.
Yes, I saw the waves on a freeway, which is quite disturbing.
Gets quite scary, doesn't it?
Well, if you're in, a 5 or 6 range, they get to be, I don't want to say amusing, but they're entertaining. You can have fun. But when you get to 7 and above...
That's when you start running.
Well, the noise is indescribable. It's like being underneath a freight train.
Yeah.
And the movement, it's not just gentle waves anymore. It's like being on a vertical vibrating table.
Oh, God.
And that wasn't fun when you're standing next to a plate glass window.
No.
I got yelled at. Get away from the glass. I can't see outside if I get away from the glass.
Of course, we have little rumbles here in Victoria, but they're nothing. They're
barely burps. And people say their walls cracked and their stuff fall. They should spend a week in California.
Oh,
35 ones bigger than that.
Well, of course, that's why most of San Francisco is timber construction.
That's right. Go with the flow.
Yeah, but they can't put anything much other than timber with a brick veneer sort of thing on it. They cement veneer it over with chicken wire and timber. And then so that if anything happens, nobody gets killed by falling bricks and all the rest of it. Yeah. They learned to live with the situation because after the great earthquake of San Francisco back in the early 1900s, they learned very quickly.
Time for some music. Time, Someone to Love Me, says Mark Ronson with Boy George here on Joy.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Lovely to have you with us today. Oh, yes.
We've been schooled.
We have been schooled.
On our Windows chat.
Oh.
So we have an anonymous writer, just with an FYI, saying Windows 9 was skipped due to some programs recognising it as a Windows 9X, like 95 to 98 program.
Yeah.
So it was just to avoid little programs getting confused.
Oh, right. Okay, then. So I was wrong. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
Well, it specifically goes on to say it has nothing to do with the German words.
It's just a good story.
And another listener, it's nice to know we've got listeners, pointed out that Apple no longer make the CPU in the current Mac. Well, they never actually made the CPU. Motorola did. But they've got more input with the iPhone. And his second comment was that Windows Mobile runs a lot better than Android because Microsoft have much better and consistent hardware requirements. That's, I guess, a throwback to what we're saying about Apple. Anyway, that's the mail.
Oh, thank
moving
you
right along.
Nice to have listeners that are listening to us, and then they can ring up, and we don't mind being
corrected. We actually
corrected.
Like being corrected.
Yeah, if you like being, that's what we're here
for. It's so boring being right all the time.
Yeah.
Someone who informs us and keeps us interested appears on our TV screens on the ABC, and we're talking about Stephen Fry, who was born on the 24th of August 1957. And I do love his program at QI. It's very naughty in parts, in most parts actually, and it is useful and informative, and
it's quite interesting.
Oh, what a...
Which I watched for years and years and years and didn't
never
actually...
What QI stood for?
I had no idea.
Quotas intelligence or something rather, did you think?
Oh, not that deep, no. I just thought it was QI.
He was on television last night on a very, very interesting program on Compass.
Yes.
And he was talking about his life, and I actually knew... I knew all of it because I'd read his autobiography or his biography about his early school life, his thing when he got caught for credit card fraud and went to jail. And then he went on and he got all his A-levels and won a scholarship to Cambridge.
He was a naughty boy.
He was a very naughty boy, but he suffers from manic depression.
And bipolar.
And bipolar. Well, bipolar. He suffers from both of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Bipolar is the modern term for manic depression.
That's what I thought, yes.
Is it? Oh, thank you. Thank you. And, of course, though, he was one of these precocious and prodigious students who managed to sail through university with, it would seem, not the effort the rest of us would ever have to do.
Well, he went to a special school and did his A-levels in 1 year.
Yeah.
Just like that. So it normally takes about 3 years, I think, to do your A-levels in England.
Mm. Well, it's obviously quicker to fry things.
Yeah.
Oh. But of course, he likewise was always out.
Always out.
He seemed to be out from a very early age, and he recognised he was of the nature, as he described, because he read all those books by James Joyce, was it?
Yeah.
No.
He was a prolific reader anyhow. And he
identified people, the Lavender Man, come on.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yes. And he recognised that the characters in the book who was writing was gay and had this view on life and sexuality. And he said, oh, that's me.
That's me. I'm quite happy with that, yes. But he was very interesting when they asked him if he believed in a god on the program last night. And his answer was too long to reply here. But the fellow said, that's the longest answer I've ever had on the fact of whether there is a god. And it was quite clever. The chap that was interviewing him. It was a very interesting program and just showed Stephen Fry in a sort of another light when he was being very, very serious rather than being funny or being very intelligent, but it was just himself talking about himself.
He's lovely. Been on radio, on TV. He was in Blackadder, if you've seen that.
He's wonderful in Blackadder. Oh,
and he is so talented that it seems to be too much for one person.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that people that are that, they tend to burn out early too?
But his great friend whom he met at university, Laurie, he's been friends with Laurie ever since they were in university. He's the actual godfather to Laurie's three children as well, and they still are great mates, you know. And they've done some wonderful television shows together and radio shows.
That's Hugh Laurie, played the character of House.
That's right, yes.
On the Channel 10 series.
Yes, that's right, Hugh Laurie. And they've been friends forever. And
so as an out person and a gay person, Stephen Fry is... a good example. He is in some ways.
And he's just married his partner as well.
Yeah.
He just married his partner, his new partner. He was with another chap for about 10 years, and then they split up, and then he met this other guy, and now they've got married. So
he's lucky. Living in a progressive country.
He's living in a progressive country where they have equal marriage, where they have a progressive prime minister who, even though he was a conservative, he decided that they should be able to get married. Everybody should be able to get married, and good on him. But
it's got nothing to do with politics or religion.
So we've got somebody here that doesn't understand that.
No, he was married to Elliot Spencer on the 17th of January, 2015, in the Norfolk town of Dereham. However, when he's driving around London, he drives a dark green TX4 London cab.
Does he?
Well, you know.
Yeah, well, it's easy.
Everybody's standing at the side, went, yeah, hello, waving hands at him.
He'd be just sort of waving back.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, adoration from the sidelines. I love. Leonard Bernstein, born on the 25th of August, 1918. How do we know him in modern parlance?
Try West Side Story to start with.
Oh, what a marvellous
concept. If you really want to go with someone, he wrote West Side Story, wonderful town, Candide, Peter Pan on the waterfront. They were all the musicals he had part of writing the music for. And
why are we disgusting him?
Because he was actually a bisexual man, apparently, because his wife knew that he was having an affairs with young men, and even though they had three sons together, yeah, his wife was quite well aware that he was having affairs with young men.
Mm. And presumably that marriage was in some ways a marriage of convenience, but his wife Felicia wrote, you are homosexual and you may never change. You don't admit to the possibility of a double life, but if your peace of mind, your health, your whole nervous system depends on a certain sexual pattern, what can you do? Exactly. Mm. And that was coming from his lady wife.
Mm. Mm. She understood him very well.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people don't necessarily understand.
Our correspondent has written back in again and said, Mr. Fry has wit and wisdom, and you're not wrong there.
Norrell, indeed.
No. And he probably came out early because he was too big to bully.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's a big lad.
I love him.
Do you know how he got his broken bent nose? Probably playing rugby or something.
No,
he's
never played sport. He never played sport at school.
Well, someone might have took a swipe at him.
He opened Windows 10.
Because you can open that. Open Windows 10 and put his head through.
The ad says you can open Windows 10 with your face. So he probably headbutted the screen.
Thank you very much indeed.
So how did he get the broken nose? You didn't tell us.
No, I don't know.
Oh, right, I thought you knew. That's why you
were bored. Oh, no, perhaps the listener knows.
We've gone from a rhetorical question to a real one.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Jumped it very quickly.
Thought he was going to be all knowledgeable. Turns out not.
Yep, Bernstein wrote some great music. He really did. Bernstein also wrote classical music and conducted great classical orchestras too. He was a conductor of the Philharmonic, the New York Philharmonic Orchestra,
yes,
or something.
Yes, and he had also had a series called Educating the Orchestra. And I have a double-sided LP talking about jazz, and he actually goes through and explains all the factors that you have to consider when you're determining how you play jazz, how you compose jazz, or what is jazz composed or played all about. So it was a very educational series, and he is a master of music, as you can see by all the works that he's done.
Mm.
And he has to be very careful around electrical equipment because he's a good conductor.
Ah, we've had a lovely message from Nina. We haven't heard from Nina for a couple of weeks, and once again today's radio program is full of very interesting content. In the early 1990s, I went to New Zealand and I came across a builder who was building a lovely townhouse, and they used building technology developed here in Australia to build earthquake-proof building techniques. The technique used polystyrene building blocks, which are then filled with concrete. Lots of love to you all from Nina. Thank you, Nina. Yes, actually, they built a house behind me. First, the ground floor was brick and the top floor was those polystyrene blocks. Yeah, because it's a very cheap thing to use.
And then the fox came along and blew it down.
Yeah, that's right. And another message about Stephen Fry. He's very open about his depression and mental health issues, which is refreshing for celebrities. It certainly is for people like him to be open and honest about that sort of condition helps other people to sort of come to terms with it.
Yeah. Realise that, once again, they're not alone in the world.
That's right.
With their mental condition or their sexuality.
And I thought I was the only gay in the village.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Chris and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. We've been having messages left, right and centre. Thank you very much indeed.
Yes, yes. Now, there was somebody that was having a birthday around this time, which was the 25th of August. That would be tomorrow. He's a fellow that left a sort of a fairy tale thing in all through Europe.
Well, indeed.
In certain parts of Europe, he left these fairy tale castles that really were something out of fairy tales, of course, which when you come to look at them, and they were absolutely gorgeous inside, I believe. I've never been inside one, but it's...
There are quite a series of these castles, and we're talking about King Ludwig II of Bavaria. I nearly said Ludwig the Tooth. Ludwig, sometimes referred to as the Mad King.
Mad King, yeah.
Because he expressed himself in over-the-top ways.
Mm, yes, he did certainly did that, especially with some of his schlosses.
Well, of course, the most famous one is the one that Disney purloined as symbolic of all fairy tale castles.
Right, yeah.
And that's the castle that's known as Neuschwanstein, the new Swan on the Rock castle.
Yeah.
And it's all those steep towers leaning up into the clouds, beautiful white, no real scenery except green fields behind it. So it really is lovely. But inside, it's just another brick building or another stone building inside.
Yeah, but
except for all the ornamentation.
Yes, this is right. It's the ornamentation inside that is really, really quite brilliant, apparently. As I said, I've only ever seen photos of the inside of the place, but it must be absolutely beautiful.
He's got other castles at Linderhof, at Herrenchiemsee, and even the Munich Residence Palace Royal Apartment is sort of super dressed, and he loved Wagner's music.
He was a great promoter of Wagner, Richard Wagner, and he wanted him to become more well-known, actually. He actually became his patron. And he also was very into theatre as well. He was a very theatrical man, was King Ludwig, and it was quite amazing.
He was also pretty cute.
Wasn't ugly, that's for sure.
No.
He was quite a nice-looking young man.
Just thought that needs to be said.
But he didn't have dalliances, but he did favour some of the male members of his
staff.
Et cetera. And that was it. He was not going to be producing an heir, et cetera, although he actually did have Duchess Sophie as his wife.
They still don't know how he died. There's
still
a mystery about that. They said he drowned or something or other. But
yes, the water went over his head. And actually on the side of that particular lake, there is a wooden cross in the water and in Lake Starnberg.
Can't you just picture him there sitting in his castle, looking over the lake and saying that famous castle quote, "Ah, the serenity."
Well, indeed.
From another castle, the movie. I'm getting blank looks here, people.
Yep, that's right, because I'm not...
Because I never saw the Australian film, The Castle.
No.
They spent 4 weeks making that, and you didn't watch.
I did see The Castle. I must admit, I loved it.
Oh, thank you indeed.
Yes. Yeah.
So he really had a history, but he spent all the money of the state in building this castle, so they reckoned they had to get rid of him, and the way they did that was actually label him as being mad. Mm. And then they had him put in chains, as it were, for being a lunatic. And, I mean, it's a pity you can't do that with modern politicians, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Would there be any candidates at the moment, do you think?
A few, I think, yeah. But I don't want to talk about that now.
No.
Because I want to talk about something else that happened in Germany, of course. It's a great musical that was written from a book all about Berlin.
And the...
author was?
Well, the author was Christopher Isherwood.
That's right.
And he actually discovered that he was gay, but he couldn't be gay in England at the time. He was born in... when was he born? In 1904. So when he was... 20s, in his 20s and 30s, that was a period of great sexual abandonment in Germany.
Mm.
And he thought, well, I'm going to get a bit of the action. So he went over and then stayed in Berlin for a fair while.
And he wrote several books while he was there, didn't he?
Yeah.
I Am a Camera was one of them, which is the one where Cabaret is taken from, the book where Cabaret is taken from. And he also wrote Berlin Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was in the run-up to...
the Second World War.
The Third Reich.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in the Weimar Republic.
Yeah, but he got a bit worried about them. That's why he left before that happened. Because he wrote about it in Cabaret, of course. There's that great scene.
But there was another book that he wrote that was actually very descriptive and useful in my coming out before I ever heard of cabaret, and it was a book called A Single Man.
Yes, that's right. They made a movie of that about six years ago, didn't they, with Colin Friels in it?
Yeah.
Which was absolutely brilliant. And I think, didn't he win an award for that?
They reset it, didn't they, into modern times, but
but it was wonderful. But the funny thing about cabaret is that in the book I Am a Camera, Sally Bowles is only mentioned in one paragraph.
All right.
But they put her in there to see what developed.
Yeah.
And to get back to our topic of castles, the princess used to sit outside the chemist shop singing "Someday My Prince Will Come." Now, for the younger listeners, photos used to be things that you picked up.
You used to get your photos at the chemist, right, yeah.
They would be collected and taken to Mr. Kodak's laboratory out in Brunswick, which ain't no more neither. Back.
Yes, thank you, Phil.
but it is interesting, though, that Sally Bowles, which was the Liza Minnelli character, the star of the cabaret, was, as you said, developed from such a small mention in the book.
People that wrote cabaret had read the book, and then they saw this Sally Bowles from the Kit Kat Club, and they decided they could make something out of it. So that's how the whole thing seemed to work from.
And the Kit Kat Club that she played in still exists. Another one exists by the same name.
The old one's gone, but this is a new one.
The particular Kit Kat Club that's around at the moment is definitely a midnight club for gay people of a certain persuasion, and it is all sorts of naughtiness.
And no hazelnuts are damaged in the running of the business.
No, something like that.
that sort of Kit Kat.
I've heard about this place. I've never been, but some of our members have.
I've not been there. Yeah, not that I would be interested. Probably it's one of those things. But it's interesting how all these things sort of come about and affected by our community, which is the thing. You know, without our community, lots of these wonderful things wouldn't have happened.
Well, life would be a lot less colourful.
It would be less colourful, yes, as you were saying to me, somebody is going to sue one of the channels because he hasn't had any glitter on his costume lately.
Oh, that was Matthew Mitchum on Dancing with the Stars. He was most upset that he's had all these, I won't say straight costumes, but everybody else has had glitter and sequins and stuff, and he hasn't.
And Matthew hasn't had glitter
until last night, apparently, but I wasn't watching.
You weren't watching last night.
I should have.
You should have been. You're a Matthew Mitchum fan of the Dancing with the Stars.
Well, he was on the breakfast show today, so I got catch-up television.
You got catch-up television, did you? Oh, good, yeah. That's one thing about television these days, which has improved out of sight, was the way you can catch up on all the shows you've missed.
Well, see, the idea is you're not meant to miss them.
Well, there's so many things on that you can't watch everything all at once, which is just impossible.
That's why we have time.
I have a recorder, which I record stuff, but
time was invented to stop everything from happening at once.
Was it?
Yep, because if we don't have time, what's going to separate them?
Well, now...
Sorry to get so deep.
Yeah, but now doesn't exist either.
Well, it's gone.
It's gone.
That was...
By the time you finished the word, it wasn't true. Why do we have such a word?
Oh, well, that's the English language.
We live in a ridiculous world.
Oh, we do, don't we? Yeah.
And apparently Kodak cameras are back. They're so retro and so cool. Thank you very much from our texter.
I was reading somewhere where they're going to bring back those Polaroid cameras or something, rather.
It's in development. I got away with that twice in 1 hour.
Yeah. Oh, golly gosh.
It's about time for us to get out.
A little bit of sensibility, yes.
There are people with knives coming towards us, sir. It's time
Justine
to go.
Will be in a little bit later, taking the music for the rest of the afternoon. But let's finish on a proper note.
All right. We're going to be prim and proper?
Well, 26th of August, 1835, Governor Burke
declared that man.
John Batman's treaty with the local Aboriginals here in Melbourne was an invalid treaty.
Yeah, but is that where we get that expression, he's a bit of a Burke?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that was Burke and Wills, the explorers.
Oh, right.
Yes, hello. No, it might have been. No, but Hare and Burkes. Is that right? The murderers in London, I think it was Hare and Burke with two of the murderers. And I think that's Don't Be a Bit of a Burke is from there.
Okay.
That means stop murdering people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Rather than try to get Melbourne closed down.
Governor Burke declared Batman's treaties were invalid, that he was not legally renting the land, and issued a proclamation warning Batman off and his syndicates as trespassers on Crown land. However, Mr. Batman didn't take much notice.
Well, you couldn't stop a village that was already growing. I mean, this is the point, you know, when he actually, Batman did do the right thing by the Aboriginal population of the place that was here. He only rented the land from them. He didn't buy it.
Yes.
And he was paying them a yearly stipend of blankets and food and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Rather than buying it from a pittance, he had all this reasonable amount of food and goods on the annual rental. And he is the only native-born Australian to have founded a state capital city.
Yes, that's right. Had just one last message. Please improve your jokes. That's homework for next week's show. Bless.
If we worked on our jokes, they wouldn't be funny.
See you next week, then.
Bye for now.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.